This week on Video Death Loop.
Pickle surprise!
Plus, yeah, I'd like to take out a classified ad. Hey everybody, welcome to Video Death Loop, the podcast where we watch a short video clip on loop until we just can't take it anymore. I am your host this week, Aaron Littleton. With me is your host. I'm just going to call you a host too.
What?
You're just
what?
A second host.
What? No
John,
way. No way.
John, co-host. Hello, no, John.
Wait. Hold on. I'm a host. Thank you for the promotion.
Your host, I'm co-host.
I'm a host, but my last name's still co-host.
It is.
So, yeah. Isn't that going to confuse the audience? Isn't that going to be a point of contention? It's like, oh, it's John co-host, but he's a host this time. They're
all
not
going
to know what to say.
Fine, John, fall on your sword and accept the lesser mantle of co-host for
me. Okay. You know what? It feels better. Feels safe. I was scared. I was scared for my life. I'll be honest. Wasn't
for
sure.
Your life. Okay.
Yes. I don't know what to do. Like I know what to do when it's my turn to be host. It means I get to show you a video. What happens if we're both hosts? That's insanity,
it's
Aaron.
Madness.
Like, we can't. Am I showing you a video and you're showing me a video, but we're not watching the same video? Is it like back and forth? How are we doing that?
I mean, we'll have to work out the logistics when it happens, right? Like, I can't. I definitely have found how my mind works. Is I do it when a thing is difficult to deal with, it's just better if I deal with it. Like, prepping to deal with it is absolutely not my strong suit. It's like improvising at the exact time that the problem is happening. That's how I get through life. I just, when things are broken, I fix them in the moment and then we move on. And so, honestly, okay. I can't tell you. It's like I activate my special second brain that will fix the crises at hand. And it absolutely will not, turn on until there is a crisis.
Like, you don't have voluntary motion, or like you cannot. It's like, you know how some people don't have that, the cognitive voice in their brain all the time thinking through that, where they go in like that. Yeah, that brain is operating by like just on instinct, basically.
Okay. I want to talk about this whole cognitive voice thing, because there's a lot of, I think we're probably all just terrible online people that have read, endless, and I'm assuming all of our audiences too. I think us, we're all people that know exactly the discussions that have happened on any number of internet sites.
Oh, every discussion is wrong in the story, basically, but.
Which is that. There's kind of two people that, like, I don't know how much I believe either of these things, because it feels like it would be so easy to misinterpret your brain as a anytime you're trying to describe to someone what's going on in your brain. You are having to do it through the medium of words, which are very imprecise. Like, the brain is having to, like, find words for things it's doing internally. And so there are people that both say that they don't have, they cannot imagine images in their mind, and that they do not have, like John said, like the cognitive voice, like almost ongoing narration.
Yeah, I do not have my research or evidence. I was just merely reiterating a thing from a previous conversation.
Sure, but I that's fine. I don't like. I just kind of want to talk about that because definitely can't imagine images. I don't have any problems with imagining images.
Sure,
but I don't know that my brain thinks in a direct stream of language. I may be one of the people that does not have a cognitive voice. That's just not how my brain works, I think. I certainly can do some level of narration if I want to, but it's not the mode that I fall back on. I don't think I think in words. I think
really?
I think more in concepts. And it's not like it's just like a pure reaction. It's like, instead of, I don't know, like if I'm thinking of a car, it's not like my mind thinks car, like the word car. And then that,
right.
It's like, I think of everything about a car. And that's what I think. But also I don't know if that's a correct way to describe that either.
I feel like I have that cognitive voice actually in the case. I'm like a 180 like on this. I'm not, of course, all the time thinking about that, but I'm like often, like if I'm looking through, I'm thinking through the problem in an English voice in my head oftentimes. I won't say 100% of the time, because yeah, there, like, you know, there are times like, you know, that the instinct comes in. I'm not thinking car, like I should get into the car as I'm going into the car, but you know, like there is some level of like, oh, I should go to the grocery store or something like that going on.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. But I think I would like to take umbrage with, I think a lot of the people that do have the cognitive voice tend to say, like, this is the more intelligent way to think.
Oh, right? I wasn't saying
that. No. But I do think there's this idea that, like, that is the better mode to think in. But honestly, I think it's like my mind is unbound by like a sentence, right? It's like I can think of a bunch of different concepts at the same time. And so I think it's different. But I also don't, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking this, like imagining the person that has this running dialogue of their actions in their head. But just, but also that's probably not how it actually is, right? Like I don't know that you have like a running action of dialogue in your head, which goes back to like, how do you describe your brain? It seems tough. It seems tough to describe what's in your brain, because I feel like the way I'm describing how I think is probably not correct at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, we are the foremost brain experts,
brain in podcast. Sure,
brain in podcasting,
brain experts.
Yeah, we sport brains.
I mean, if there's any other podcasters out there who think you're better at brains than us,
no.
Come at us. Like, whether you want to come at us with cognitive thought or more like, you know, a conceptual 360 of events, like, we're ready in either direction.
Yeah, we'll throw our brains at you.
We have a host. We have a co-host. We apparently have different brain modes. So we're ready for anything.
Yeah. But I was not saying anything negative. I'm talking about you mentioned a second brain, and I think it would be interesting if your second brain just did something that your normal brain doesn't. When you kick in, you got that extra brain juice kind of flowing. That's what I was trying to say.
It is kind of like that, right? It's like I've realized that I think I do have like a crisis brain, and unless I'm in crisis brain does not activate. That's almost not a joke. And
oh yeah, no,
it's more capable than regular brain, than brain one, or it's added. It's a little bit extra juice added to brain one. And so sometimes if something goes wrong, I bet I'll do better figuring it out in the moment than I will trying to prep for that. Certainly I'm a very preparatory person. I often maybe prep too much, but then there's some times where I'm like, nah, to prep for this is impossible. I'm just going to handle it when it comes, because I'll be better at it. I generally am. I'm just waiting for that time where I'm like, okay, I did not expect to be, I don't know, riding a horse through a minefield. This is probably, I probably should have prepared for this.
You wake up and, you know, you're in a Red Dead Redemption 2 scenario or something.
Yeah, it's like a mod.
You wake up beginning on that. Where do you think your second brain's located at? Is it like the Egyptians thought, like the heart was, you know, did the thinking? Is it kind of like one of those scenarios?
I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't want to argue with a bunch of ancient Egyptians on where the second brain is. So if they said it's the heart, I'm going to go with them. Because I don't know, okay. They built those big pyramids.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at stuff. I've never built a pyramid. I have been attempting to reshingle my shed for about 2 fucking weeks now, and I'm not done. So I'm very impressed by any. I think I just need to think of the shingling project as a crisis.
Actually, yeah. What if you, like, you got in there and you're thinking too much is what's happening. You need to get to, like, when you get to it, you need to, like, find that moment of, I don't know how you activate it. Like, you get into that zen, you get onto the roof, you just think about it. Like, eventually the roof will get hot enough to where the crisis mode will get activated. You wait too long, it's summertime.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll climb up there and then I'll kick the ladder down.
Okay.
And then I've got to, I don't know how shingling the roof gets me down safely, but maybe I shingle the roof and then build a ladder out of leftover shingles.
Yeah. Or something.
I mean, they're 30-year shingles. I should be able to fasten a ladder out of them.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of I've never shingled a roof. A lot of nails, a lot of nails. You got a pattern you got to go through. You following like on that. You just kind of
willy nilly, right? It's just like, hey, this one's probably cool at an angle. No, there's
somehow popcorn ceiling that shingle somehow.
Yeah, dude, I got to get rid of some popcorn shingling. Not shingling, popcorn ceiling. Yeah. I'm shingling instead of popcorn ceiling. I think that's maybe next on the list. Mm-hmm. But okay. John, I am killing time because I'm terrified of our video this week.
That's not like you, Aaron. I'll be honest.
I know. As the host, I have picked a video and I've had it. I've almost picked it a couple times. Every time I'm like, oh my God, I cannot watch this for the amount of time that I'm going to be expected to watch this video. But it just keeps hanging on. And finally, I think it's almost, I'll get over this. It's almost like facing our fears, right? Okay. I'm facing my fears by watching this video. Of course, I'm ready to surprise John with the video. I don't know if he's ever seen this video before. I'm not sure where I originally ran across it. But we're going to watch it on loop until we just can't take it anymore. And John's about to find out what is in store for him in 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, boy. Oh. Oh, there's some delicious meats and the devices.
John, welcome to it. It's a surprise.
Oh, no. The pickle surprise.
It's pickle surprise.
Oh, right. As okay. So I haven't thought about this in a very long time, and for good reason.
Yes. I don't know. I don't actually think this is an advertisement for mayonnaise or pickles. It's just a art video, I think, about making a gross sandwich with people that have extraordinarily unappealing makeup talking about.
This is coming back to days in college, Aaron, by the way. I'm pretty sure you were the one who showed me this video the first time.
Did I? I had forgotten about it. And then I watched it. I'm like, I definitely have watched Pickle Surprise before. I don't know where it's from. I don't know who made it.
Where's the pickle? It's like
that's the surprise. Pickle Surprise.
Why, like, there is, I'm trying to recall, like, when this may have been, but I'm pretty sure 1989, that's when the Pickle Surprise
that's
was?
That's when Pickle Surprise was made.
No, yes. No, that's 2000. That's like, it's like, no, well, like
11, like, this was well before internet shitbaggery. This was someone that was ready for YouTube 20 years before YouTube,
and they had no outlet, so they just had to, like, it's like, hey friends, like, I need to make a YouTube video, and they're like, what's a YouTube video? Don't worry about it, here's a pickle surprise.
I think the guy, my understanding is, I think the guy that is in the weird magic pickle man costume is the, maybe
he's the
director,
huh?
yeah he's definitely. You don't make Pickle Surprise without casting yourself as a magic pickle wizard.
No, I mean, like, that's what you have to do. Like, if you are, if you're not willing to give the Pickles a prize the utmost respect, what are you doing?
So it's, so if you're, since you're not seeing this out there in podcast land, it's a video, it's got the sort of vibe of some like 70s variety comedy show. Like really overlit sets, like the sound is kind of awkward and bad, and just like deeply unappealing close-ups of people that are in makeup that's just not suited for the kind of close-ups that we're looking at. The strange lip smacking sounds. What's that? Laughing, maybe, like laughing, perhaps.
Yeah, something like that. Where, but yeah, like the backgrounds don't, they don't really remind, like, they, like it would be like something you see on a variety show. However, I like to think that they're just in like a fourth grade classroom doing this, because it's like all these like bright colors and circles and hearts and hearts and stuff, like little examples from that. It's like that's something they found. I don't know if they made that part. It's like, oh yeah, we should do it here. It's like some, either some other show or some other class.
I feel like I'm going to go on the other side of things, John. I feel like every part of Pickle Surprise was meticulously designed. Oh. I can't imagine a universe so cruel that any part of Pickle Surprise would exist outside of it being created by the Pickle Man.
Aaron, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but like with the table that they make the Pickle Surprise, which by the way involves an English muffin. Looks like a ham of some sort, which they tell us, and some like mayo, and there's mayo. A pickle somewhere in there, supposedly. Yes. They have not revealed.
No, there's no pickle. There's no pickle because one of the characters later on says, "Where's the pickle?" And then they say, "That's the surprise, pickle surprise."
But the table looks like the top of like a cat scratcher or something. It's like a blue felt of some sort. And
yeah,
I'm
it's
not
definitely like a
that.
Fuzzy, felty table that they
and
make.
And you were
this...
talking about everything meticulously planned. I'm starting to agree with you there because I don't think you just pick that out. You bring that from home.
Yeah, it's like this: the pickle man, the pickle wizard, as he began like formulating Pickle Surprise in his head, I think he just almost certainly like ran across various parts of what would eventually become Pickle Surprise and gathered them over possibly years. Like this could be the ending of a horrific time in his life to find the most discordant things, except for the pickle hat. I would wear the pickle hat at any time of my life.
Right.
It's got a big third eye on it.
Yeah, the Illuminati eye kind of thing going on. And then like zoom in. What if it was on instinct though, Aaron? What if the second brain kicked in and it's like I have to make the pickle surprise. And everything just came together like it's just like one manic afternoon.
Oh my God. I mean, it's possible. It's possible he would either die or he either was going to die or make a pickle surprise. And that was that. And I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but what if he hired his own assassin? Right. Is this a thing you could do? You hire an assassin. It's like, I have to make a deeply unappealing pickle recipe video a la laugh in by the end of the evening, and if not, you have to kill me.
Ooh.
And it's not that he wanted to die, he wanted to make Pickle Surprise,
right?
But he hired this assassin simply to, like you said, kick in Chrysi's brain in his heart, as we all learned the ancient Egyptians told us,
right?
He wanted to activate that Chrysi's brain to get this done. And he did it, clearly. It succeeded effectively, I have to imagine. I think I can't imagine any part of this is not exactly how it was in his head.
No. It like didn't even need to storyboard it because his mind is a weapon at this point. Weaponized Pickle Surprise on there. Where is the assassin? Just is he hanging out in the same room watching the recording? Is he seeing the entire action on there, or is he only going? Is he only going to see the final product? And from that, is he the sole progenitor that decides whether the Pickle Surprise Wizard lives or dies?
Yeah, I think I'm okay with him only evaluating it at the end. Like, I think there's a certain, I think he has to be close enough that the Pickle Wizard feels like his life is in danger, but I don't think he has to be on set. Okay. Unless one of our characters here is actually, he hired the assassin to be one of the characters. I think this like shirtless cowboy man might be the most normal looking person in this video. And I think if there's anyone in this video that's an assassin, it might be the shirtless cowboy man. Or he was thinking ahead a little bit and hired an incredibly weird looking assassin.
Oh, yeah, like make sure it's like just a little bit off kilter, a little bit.
Yeah, it's like I might need an extra. So I'm going to hire a very weird assassin.
I'm going to dial the shirtless assassin. I have him on speed dial.
Shirtless cowboy assassin.
Yes. The SCA, the shirtless cowboy assassin.
How do you even find an assassin in 1989? You know, like the joke, you know, in 2026, I think if you say, how would you find an assassin? I think dark I might web. Be like, dark web?
Yeah, it's easy.
Download Tor, I guess.
Assassin.exe.torrent.magnet.
Like, dot onion. Yeah, so, but in 1989, I don't know where you find an assassin. It feels like an era where, like, I feel like if you ask me to find an assassin in 1920, boom, I can find you an assassin in 1920. Oh, yeah. You ask me to find you an assassin in 2020, I can find you an assassin in 2020. You ask me to find you an assassin in 1980, I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
Asterisk to viewers out there, we will not find you an assassin. Do not ask us.
This is not a service. We're not an assassin finding service. I would like, but yes, let us make that very clear. I'm just saying.
Right.
I don't know. You need an assassin. You hit me up. You let me know. We can find a finder's fee. I bet we can work something out. Regardless, I'm just saying, 1989, the only place I could think would be like in the back of a magazine somehow. Like, I know
you'd have to use like code words or something, like looking for a good time.
I know.
Looking for a pickle surprise.
Like, I think the golden age of magazines was over by the time we were old enough to possibly end up with a magazine that would advertise assassins. Right. But I do know that a lot of otherwise pretty, normal magazines you might just find on the store shelf. I have heard tale that in the back of them, there would be essentially classified ads that you could, find all sorts of unsavory things in. So I don't know, maybe an assassin. Maybe that just seems a little out in the open, though, right?
Well, that's why you gotta use like words that assassin words. Maybe you learn one
assassin.
Of them,
tell me what an assassin word would be.
Like maybe pickle surprise is an assassin word. Maybe, you put looking for a pickle surprise for myself.
I need to be pickle surprised.
Yeah,
it's not just is ass too too obvious. It's like I need an ass in. It's like damn it. Is it because obviously also in the 80s, I do think a lot of homosexual couples found themselves through classified ads with using the right code words. So yeah. It's possible you might be writing a romantic ad. You might be writing an ad looking for an assassin. If you just use it, I need an ass.
Right.
I don't think it's that. I think it's got to be something else. I do think Pickle Surprise is quite possible. I mean, honestly, if I was the cops, I would. If I saw an advertisement advertising a Pickle Surprise, that's also a gay advertisement, isn't it, John? Yeah.
There's a good chance. I mean, like,
yeah, 50-50. I don't think, but that's what, you can't leave that up to chance. If you're the man making Pickle Surprise, and you got to make sure this video gets made. Whether you want a lover or not, I don't think you can take that chance if you're looking for an assassin. So I think you have to use clearer assassin words.
Something like a dirt nap or something. That's two more on the nose. Two more on the pickle
nose.
There is
that song Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, right?
True.
Do they drop any assassin words in there? Because that's clearly about like, if you want to hire me as an assassin, you can. But I feel like it's pretty on. I feel like even the most backwoods sort of like anti-assassin force would be able to figure out that that song is about assassinations.
Well, it's also, you know, that can also be a 50-50 song because I think there's something about back shots in the later lyrics of that as well.
Okay, fine. It's very hard to hire an assassin in 1989, which leads us back to our original point. How do you find an assassin? In 1989, you just go hit up the bars.
You hit the night on the town.
Yeah. He wants to shove a gun in my head again. Yeah. Very easily misconstrued.
What, like, you know how they have in the 80s and early 90s, they had like, video cassettes sent to your house and like, here's dating profiles. What if they did that? Like, but it's like assassin profiles and it just has a gun on the front of it or something.
Sure.
And it's like, hi, I'm Steve. I'm your assassin. I enjoy killing and long walks on the beach.
That's assuming that assassination in 1989 is legal, right? Like, I feel like even in the 80s, assassination was illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have, like, you can't just be like, assassins are us. Come in here and get a guy to kill somebody else, possibly even you, to activate your second crisis brain. In your attempt to make a pickle video.
Ooh, so, okay. Okay, all right. So you're trying to convince them, like, you have to use the right words on that. Like, I feel, if you have the video, you probably already have, like, proper words in there already. So, like, that's already a hard issue.
Yeah, you have to be able, I mean, it's honestly, it's every, like, ultimately what we're doing is we're designing cryptography, but specifically for killing people.
Right.
It's like you have to start out in plain text and you have to end with some people being able to read it and others not. So, like, we're talking about what's the public key that's being handed out to learn the words for assassination so we can begin an SSH tunnel for assassinations?
Right.
Maybe SSH tunnel. Maybe all of this was figured out. Maybe all modern cryptography was figured out in the 80s so people could hire assassins again.
Like, you have like some sort of cipher bit perhaps on there, like based
that's
on
what, that's things. What I'm yeah. saying. Yeah, you yeah, have to yeah. you have to be able to run a code in a magazine. But the other end has to be able to understand the people that you want to understand the code have to be able to understand the code. And the people that you don't want to be able to understand the code cannot understand the code. They need to think it's something else. Right. Not only just gibberish, it has to be readable as something that might be something where no one's going to call you specifically asking for a pickle surprise. You need to figure all that out only in magazines and it's impossible. I don't think people hired assassins in the 1980s. I think I don't think anyone was getting assassinated in the 1980s. You look up a list of assassinations. I bet there were zero in the 1980s.
I mean, but you're Ronald Reagan.
He got shot. He didn't die though. He didn't die. That motherfucker was not assassinated. He did not. I mean, he eventually died, but not from the assassination. And was that guy a hired assassin?
No, he's trying to impress, trying to impress,
Yeah, I'm talking about a hired assassination. Certainly people, and I feel like just shooting a guy, you know, why is it that when you shoot a president, it's labeled as an assassination and not a murder? I feel like an assassin is someone you hire to kill someone. And, you know, it could just be a guy that wants to kill somebody. That's just a murderer. That's not an assassin. That's a murderer.
I mean, like, that's a time immemorial question, too, because you kill a king, that's regicide at that point, too. Like, anyone can do a regicide. But it feels, like, important because, like, you got to add, like, they sent an assassin, or he sent. But if it's just a murderer, yeah.
Yeah, he's just a murderer. He's not an assassin. An assassin is someone that's hired. Again, list of actual assassinations. I'm not just saying murders of leaders. I'm talking about assassinations. Like, they found a guy named, I don't know, Knifey Stabback, and they sent him to, like, and someone hired him. They gave him $5,000 and said, go kill the Duke of Pickles. and then he did, and then he took his money and he left, and no one knew he was there. That's an assassin. That's a pickle surprise.
Okay.
1989. God damn it, I've got to stop watching this. I'm tappy. I cannot watch Pickle Surprise anymore, yeah, John.
I'm gonna say, like, for a food-based product, it's not. I was expecting, like,
it's not in a my product. Head, it's a nothing.
It's a nothing. But they made it. But it's not gross though. Like, usually, if I expect a food thing from you, it's gross as hell. And it's kind of eh.
You know. Yeah, not, I don't. The food is just not the grossest part.
No. It's not the surprise.
No. Not at all. Tom Rubnitz is the guy that made Pickle Surprise.
He had very I couldn't stop looking at the shiny golden gloves he was wearing.
If that was him, I mean I have to assume it was. He looks like the guy looking at Tom Rubnitz. He made a few other things. We could watch additional things.
If we wanted to see various surprises, or
we've got Pickle Surprise. Okay. We've got John Sex, the true story.
Fine. The untold tale. Okay.
Chicken Elaine.
Okay.
Frida, the movie. I don't know. He's got Wigstock, the movie.
Okay, I mean, like, it looks like it would be ready with, like, the wigs. Like, the design was, like, I imagine a lot of unique designs.
Yep. He definitely made some stuff that I guess in some capacity we still care about in this year of assassination 2026. John Rubnitz, if you need an assassin, now's the time. It wasn't the time in 1989. It was impossible. But now,
good
for grabs. Pay him in Dogecoin.
Do you think you need an assassin every time you made a clip or a movie?
It's possible. It's possible that dude hired a lot of assassins.
I mean, once you hire one, like, I guess, like, once you pop, you can't stop, I guess, maybe, on that, because, like, you already know how to do it at that point. You've done it once.
If you're so impressed with your results under duress of assassination, then I imagine that you might get a little addicted to it, right? It's like I don't really need an assassin to make my like strange underground videos. And then you make another one and it's like fish, the real story, and it's like 20 minutes of just like a fish. You're like, fuck that, wasn't it? That wasn't anywhere close to Pickle Surprise. I do need the assassin.
Just him yelling at the fish on the screen, the fish audibly distressed at him. I was like, no.
Pickles.
It's like he just goes back to the same assassin, and it's like even the assassin's like, dude, that was too weird. I can't do that again. Find someone else.
Yes, absolutely. I cannot be anywhere close to Pickle Surprise. I don't want my name involved.
Do you think, like, obviously he lived after that, on that. Uh, Do you think the assassin watched the video and was just like, he just walked away? Do you think he had a comment on it? It's like, do you think he did the job? Or did you, like, do you think he was ready with the trigger? Do you think he was ready to go?
I think he was ready to go. I don't think you, I think it's almost, it's really important. Yeah, I think you've got to be a professional. You've got to be, he can't be the only creative, right, that hires assassins to kill him if he doesn't do his work. You know, cannot be the only one. So he's got to have a little bit of a reputation. You know, it's like, listen, if you're talking to a guy and he's like, hey, I really need to finish my album and I didn't, and he didn't kill me. That's it. You never get any more work. Right. Yeah, so you got to be ready to go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in the case of this one, he let him live because that was part of the agreement there. Like, yeah, he made that was the hire. I presumably got paid either way on
that. That's it, right? Like, this is the assassin that will kill you if you don't finish your creative project. So if he ever lets anyone live, then everyone's going to know. So he's got to kill them. he's just got to, John. He's got to. Jeez, we need one of these guys. We need one of these guys.
That would definitely enhance our second brains for sure.
Yeah, if you're an assassin, let us know in code. Send us an email, questions@videodeathloop.com, with a code that is easily understood.
ZZ Top's Eliminator. Respond in the lyrics of that.
Yeah, yeah, that'll work. If you're not an assassin, come back next week and then listen to more Video Death Loop. You can follow us on Blue Sky, I just recommend just subscribing and listening when episodes come out. Tell your friends. That would be super cool. That's how things work. Tell your friends. People like their friends, and people like the things their friends tell them. And John, do you have anything to say before we go?
You know what? I'm gonna take a line from you. I feel inspired because you made me host this week temporarily.
Very temporarily.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.